Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing the fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth and everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Our second reading comes to us from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 14. It says there, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are living in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test, I hope you will find out that we have not failed, but we pray to God that you may not do anything wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we are weak and you are strong. This is what we pray for, that you may become perfect. So I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in using the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? How long, O Lord? How long must we tear others down in order to build ourselves up, to make others feel small so that we can feel larger? How long must tension and hatred and dissension, how long will conflict last? Oh God, we pray for the healing of our broken spirits, the brokenness of your church, the brokenness of your world. And as your word, both written and proclaimed, is spoken into our hearts and our lives this day, may we more fully embrace what it means to be instruments of peace. God, though I am flawed, imperfect, sinful, I ask that you would use me to convey your message to your people. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Well, today I want to talk with you about something we don't talk about often in church. At least I've never heard a sermon on it. I want to talk to you about kissing. Yes, you heard me right. I said kissing. I'll give you a second to get over your shock. I know it seems a bit cruel to talk about kissing when we're all social distancing. Nonetheless, our second reading talks about kissing. So let's unpack this passage a bit. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Remember that Paul was a Pharisee. a very well-educated, highly regarded Jewish leader who also had Roman citizenship. He had been a persecutor of anyone who professed Jesus as Lord, but was converted to Christianity when he met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Subsequently, going from Christianity's great persecutor to its great evangelist, he travels around the known world on a series of missionary journeys, sharing the good news that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, reconciling our broken relationship with God because our sinful behavior distances us from God. Paul writes many letters over the course of his ministry. One of the many interesting reasons Paul's letters to the church in Corinth is so striking is because they reveal the complexities of his relationship with the church there. Their relationship is one of spiritual closeness, but it's also marked by the pain of the church falling prey to false teachers. These verses that I just shared with you speak to the brokenness of Paul's relationship with the Corinthian church and between its members. He tells the church, "Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. Greet one another with a holy kiss." In other words, be reconciled with one another. And when you do that, you will also be reconciled with God. This reconciliation brings love and peace. It seems appropriate, given our current climate, on this Trinity and Peace with Justice Sunday, to speak of reconciliation. You might have thought that we arranged this entire service around what's been going on in our world in recent weeks, but in fact, we celebrate this Sunday in the United Methodist Church every year. It's both the Trinity Sunday, but it's also Peace with Justice Sunday. And so all of the liturgy and the music that you hear in the service reflects that theme. We hear the story of God creating the world and everything in it, and the care and attention to detail it took for God to create this world is palpable. It hits us that all of creation is meant to live in harmony and peace with everything else in creation. God, in and of God's self, embodies harmony: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons of the same essence, perfect harmony. Yet we humans seem to perpetually live in dissonance. The Corinthian church endures persecution for their faith from the more dominant and established cultures and religions. They fight in and amongst themselves as they follow teachings of different evangelists spreading opposing messages. And today, it seems we've completely lost the ability to live peaceably. Everyone blames everyone else for the world's troubles, the church's troubles, our individual struggles. We've forgotten how to authentically love one another. Now, here's where the kissing comes in. Imagine for a moment you're really mad at someone. I know this is really difficult for you to imagine. I doubt it takes you very long to picture someone. Picture that person. Now, picture you're standing in front of that person, and Paul comes up to you, the Apostle Paul comes up to you and says, "Kiss him. Just kiss him." Let me be clear when I say kiss them, I'm not talking about romantic kissing. I'm also not talking about that fluffy air kiss thing that's done in some cultures where you kiss the air next to the person's cheeks. No, I'm talking about holy kissing. It's an affection that is shared between two believers who disagree or can't seem to get along or have recently experienced an ongoing conflict that remains unresolved. It's an expression of love of God and love for another person that you genuinely care about, but are experiencing an emotional and physical and spiritual distance from that needs to be reconciled in order for peace to be found. Though it is platonic, it is holy and entirely intimate. So continue to imagine that person you're mad with or disagree strongly with about something. Then imagine expressing your love for God and your love for them by stepping out in complete vulnerability and kissing that person on the cheek. There's just something about making such a dramatic and vulnerable gesture that affords us the opportunity to be at peace with ourselves, with God, and to find harmony with the other. Think about if you have a spouse or you've had a spouse or a significant other. Times when you got really mad at that person. And you're in the heat of anger. But you love that person. So you plant a kiss on their cheek. When I talk about a holy kiss, I'm not talking about one that just is one out of obligation. Oh, I'm still mad at you. But I'll kiss you on the cheek anyway. It's not a kiss that's meaningless. Oh, we've done this thousands of times before. It's just another kiss. But this holy kiss is one that acknowledges that you are both flawed human beings, but that you need peace in your relationship. You need the love of that other person. You are better for it. And so, that vulnerable, holy kiss. The holy kiss is not just some instruction given to the church of long ago. It is actually still practiced in certain Christian traditions today. In the Methodist tradition, we call it the peace of Christ. Oftentimes, you can see in a communion liturgy, there is a place in there before we actually partake of communion when we pass the peace of Christ with one another. And it's no accident that this happens before communion. And it's not a way of saying, hi, how are you, in the middle of service and catching up on the previous week's events with whomever is sitting nearest to you, or running over to someone and say, hey, oh, there's this one thing I need to tell you that we need to talk about or take care of for church. No, it's not a time for that. It's an opportunity to say, peace be with you. Because, not because it's just what you're supposed to say, but it is an action of the heart expressed through hugs, handshakes, eye contact, the peace sign, or yes, even a holy kiss. Obviously, right now, we're socially distancing ourselves from one another, and kissing is not exactly being strongly encouraged right now. In fact, if you were to look at the guidelines given to us in order to be able to gather in this sanctuary right now for worship by our conference, the restrictions on our interactions with one another are pretty stifling, hence the continued worship online. Creation cries out for justice. The COVID-19 infected, their loved ones, medical personnel, our leaders, those of us trying really hard not to bemoan being stuck at home, even though we are well, the oppressed. We long for peace to saturate the earth as it did in the beginning when God began creating. But if there is to be peace, as the song goes, may it begin with me. May it begin with us. How might we be reconciled with those whom we feel great spiritual and emotional distance? What might that look like for each of us? A phone call, a Zoom session, a handwritten card in the mail, some sort of heart-to-heart dialogue. Further, what might it look like for each of us to be reconciled with God? A heart acknowledgement that we need Jesus to save us from ourselves, hitting our knees in prayer and being completely honest and vulnerable to God. This is who I am. This is what I said. This is what I've done. These are the seeds of discord that I have sown. Searching for God's love, God's nearness through studying the Bible? What would it look like for each of us to truly and honestly pursue peace? Why don't we give it a try? We could use a lot more instruments of peace today and always. May it be so in us. Amen.